I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse number 8. And this is the New King James Version. Acts 14, beginning with verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Let's stop right there and let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the time to hear your word. I ask that your word be planted in us, and we bind Satan from robbing it. Lord, I asked you earlier to open us. Let us hear exactly what you have for us, Lord. And Lord, use this time to change us into your image, more and more into your image. And Lord, all praise goes to you. Use me as your vessel and pour through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul and Barnabas have come to the city of Lystra after being persecuted and driven away from the city of Iconium. Lystra was a Roman colony in Central Asia Minor made up of wild and rude people. Wild and rude people. Why were the residents of Lystra such an unruly crowd? Well, they never had Jesus. They never heard about Jesus. They didn't have Jesus in their society. They'd never been introduced to the Savior. And because they'd never heard Jesus, they just were rude and crude. Amen? Rude and crude. You see, folks, no matter what you're like or how you've lived, when you hear about Jesus, things start changing. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, things really change. Amen. Really change. Amen. Amen? Now, the people at Lystra lived in deep superstition. These folks were fanatical about their worship of gods. So when Paul and Barnabas arrived, they were faced with quite a challenge. Traveling down the mountainside, Paul and Barnabas enter Lystra. It was easy to notice the massive temple dedicated to Jupiter, located at the gate of the city. Jupiter was their supreme deity. But typical of Paul and Barnabas, as soon as they passed through the city gate, they began telling people about Jesus. The men shared about God's love, how he had sent his son, Jesus Christ, down from heaven to suffer and die for each one of them. Then they told him about the resurrection and how he became a savior to all of mankind. As we should expect, the crowd gathered around, and in the crowd was a crippled man who had never been able to walk. The crippled man began listening intently to what Paul said about Jesus. And Paul begins to take special notice of this crippled man. The apostle undoubtedly had an intense compassion for him, and he looked into his face and he knew by the Holy Spirit that this man from Lystra had faith to be healed. Remember, the man had never walked, yet his faith is strong enough that he now believes God will heal him. Paul knew just what to do. He stopped right in the middle of his message. We may ask why? Because he wanted to give glory to God for the entire crowd to witness such a miracle. Surely this miracle of healing would promote Jesus' fame throughout the city, building the faith of all the residents who saw and heard this miracle. So right in the middle of his message, Paul stops and he shouts directly to the man, "Stand up straight on your feet. Stand up straight on your feet." Suddenly the cripple leaps up and he begins walking. Wow. A miracle. And all the people around were stunned. As you can imagine, the crowd had never seen anything like this before. Now, up to this point, it's been smooth sailing for Paul and Barnabas. No problem. Well, Satan, who had dominated this region, jumped into action. You see, there were traditions among the people of Lystra. They believed that Jupiter and Mercury had once appeared in that very town. To them, that fictitious story was real. It was truth. So as soon as they saw this undeniable miracle, they immediately assumed that Jupiter and Mercury were revealing themselves again. Hallelujah. You see, they still did not know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They didn't know him. If the miracle brought any degree of faith to them, it was quickly robbed so that all they knew and believed were their superstitious traditions. Unfortunately, Satan had snatched away the gospel message at Lystra, and the faith of the people never developed. How many people do you know today who are steeped in tradition or steeped in superstitions? How would they react if they saw God perform a miracle in your hands? Hallelujah. Now, the people of Lystra believed that Jupiter was a god of light, of sky, and of weather. They held a picture in their minds of Jupiter, so in his stately commanding presence. And when they saw Barnabas, bingo. He fit the bill. This must be Jupiter. Mercury was thought to be the god of eloquence. So it was easy for the people of Lystra to assume that Paul was Mercury. After all, wasn't Paul who was speaking? Paul was speaking. He was the eloquent one. And since only gods can perform miracles, it's only natural to assume Paul and Barnabas were really Jupiter and Mercury. Now, what do you suppose the people thought was the right and proper thing to do in the presence of gods? Worship them, of course. They wanted to worship them. That's exactly what these folks from Lystra attempted to do. Some of them rushed to the temple to tell their pagan priest that the gods had come down to Lystra again. The priest wanted to appease the crowd, so they brought out the bullock to sacrifice before the gods of Jupiter and Mercury. Can you imagine how Paul and Barnabas felt right about then? What would you do if they got out the fatted bullock to sacrifice to you? And then they started bowing down in front of you, humming and chanting. Well, the men of God did exactly what they were supposed to do. They tore their clothes as a sign of disapproval. They refused to be worshipped.
Amen.
Way to go, Paul and Barnabas. Way to go. Can I tell you this morning that God's looking for some people who don't want to receive any glory for themselves? Amen. Now, the people of Lystra believed that Jupiter, excuse me, I'm wrong here, okay? It's our utmost desire to bring glory to God, not yourself. If that's the case, then I have good news for you. God wants you on his team. Amen? Amen. Now, after Paul and Barnabas refused their worship, the people of Lystra began to oppose the two men. Satan always has his followers, his servants. These are wolves in sheep's clothing, hiding somewhere in the shadows to stir up trouble. This mob of dissidents caused such a disturbance in the city that the wild passions of the people came to the surface, and they ended up stoning Paul and dragging him through the streets. They left him to die. These were the very people that attempted to worship him the day before. Nevertheless, in spite of the opposition, Paul's preaching was not in vain. I want you to hear this. Paul and Barnabas' work ran deeper in that city than the reaction of the angry crowd. If you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium." Hallelujah. God still did a work in Lystra. Now, things may happen to temporarily hinder or deter the gospel message, folks, but you can't defeat it forever. Amen. You can't. Our God is still the miracle maker. It didn't matter that man had never walked before or how severe his condition was. God's creative ability didn't stop in Genesis. And folks, he is still the same miracle maker today as he was back then. Amen? I love to read the many miracles in the Bible, but I'm not satisfied with just knowing that it happened. I want to know some elements. I want to know what was present that allowed the miracle to come to pass. What factors moved God into the point of action? I want to know, and y'all deserve to know. Amen? So what happened? What preceded the lame man's faith? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We recognize that this verse from the scripture is a steadfast principle to follow. But what did the crippled man hear? What did he hear? Faith comes from hearing the gospel. Did you hear that? Faith comes from hearing the gospel. That is what Paul and Barnabas preached, the gospel message. However, we might think we could give Paul and Barnabas a little help here. Amen? "Hey guys, you had success preaching the gospel in Iconium and Antioch, but that was preaching to your brethren. But in Lystra, you should change your message in order to have success in preaching to these rude, superstitious barbarians." We could have easily told him that. Doesn't that make sense? These heathen people didn't have the background of the Jews. They weren't looking for a Savior. Why would you speak the same truth to them? However, that's exactly what Paul does. Exactly. He speaks the same exact gospel wherever he goes. Amen? Acts 16, 1 through 2. I read you that already. I'm having trouble today. This, the adverse culture that he was in didn't change the message. Right? It didn't change the message. In our country, there are areas of affluence. There are areas of superior intellectualism. There are areas known as blue collar, yet the message needs to be the same everywhere. People are people. Amen? Telling people about Jesus didn't start with some strong, influential personality. It started with God Himself giving us the gospel message through Jesus Christ coming to earth. Amen? People are people. People need the gospel no matter what their status in life. Paul never changed anything because of the education or lack of education in his hearers. So no matter where he goes, he's the same. He's the same. And the message is the same. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. One person may have a sixth grade education. Another may have a PhD. But they both need the same gospel. They both need salvation. Amen? Are you with me? It's because the gospel message that brings us faith. The gospel message is what brings us faith. Now, remember when Paul went to Ephesus, it was a city given over to sorcery. Yet when Jesus was preached, the people made a bonfire out of their books. Amen? What about when he would preach to the aristocratic governor? Should he water down his message? No way, folks, no way. He preached the same Jesus. What about when he went to Athens, of people that were highly educated? Did Paul try to reach them with philosophy? No, he stuck with the same message. The same message. Amen? Hallelujah. Paul also took the same approach at Corinth, which was a city given to materialism and deep immoral practices. Yet it was the same Jesus that was needed there. And now he's in Lystra. Paul knows what the people need. Paul and Barnabas were declaring the gospel to a group of people who ignorantly worshiped an image that doesn't bless, doesn't heal, doesn't perform miracles, doesn't help them in any shape or form. And here they come with the message of Jesus, and the crippled man gets healed. If the people's greatest sin is idolatry, why doesn't Paul preach about false gods? That makes good logical sense. And it may be necessary down the road. But that isn't the starting point or the ending point. Amen. Paul understood full well that no matter the problem, the only lasting answer is the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it was the gospel that gave that crippled man faith. The gospel. Brothers and sisters, don't ever lose hope in the power of the gospel, because it is the gospel that gives us believing faith. Hallelujah. Now, where did this man's miracle come from? The scripture told us that he had faith to be healed. Perhaps as the crippled man heard Paul preach, he thought to himself, sounds like truth, looks like truth, and if it is truth, if Jesus is an awesome Savior, must mean that he has power to heal me. These legs have never carried me anywhere, but I believe they can be made whole. I think they can. I hope they can. I believe they can. I know I can be healed if Jesus is who he says he is. And then that at some point, the crippled man declares, without a doubt, I know Paul is right in what he is saying. Jesus wants me to be healed. Perhaps he planned to ask Paul at some point, first opportunity he had, but Paul beat him to it. The scripture said Paul noticed the faith coming from this man, faith to be healed. faith to be healed. Paul saw something remarkable, so remarkable that it prompted him to stop preaching. Paul recognized the faith of that crippled man as he looked into his eyes. Faith was evident. He was overflowing with faith. And saints, when you have a desperate need in your life, and when you fully realize that there is hope for that need, then faith won't let anything come between you and your miracle. Amen. Amen. The man was on the edge of his seat, drinking in every word, totally absorbed in what Paul was saying. And at the very same time, Paul was fully absorbed in the faith radiating from this crippled man. What an awesome combination, a perfect mixture blending together and to produce the miraculous. Paul and this crippled man met on the common ground of real faith. You see, to experience a change in your life today, you must connect with Jesus Christ in such a way that everything else in your life takes second place. I need to say that again. To experience a change in your life today, you must connect with Jesus Christ in such a way that everything else in your life takes second place. Jesus must have your full attention, or you'll walk away the same. Many people have shown great faith in receiving salvation, yet they go no further. Why? They're still crippled in their ways. Some are stunned by the pain they've suffered. Others remain defeated because of the consequences of their sins. Some believe God can save, but they see themselves as being unworthy for any other blessing. And of course, Satan works overtime to keep us in a state of continual guilt. Right now, today, it is time to step out of these places of discouragement and defeat. Amen. Amen. If this crippled man could do it, then why can't you? Come on. You too have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. God does not condemn you. He wants you to trust His word and attack the real source of your condemnation, that's Satan and his kingdom. Look it straight in the eye and rebuke it out of your family, out of your life, out of your home, Amen. Out of your workplace, out of your neighborhood, out of your school. There are some here today that even though you are saved, you are still crippled emotionally. You face constant fear and anxiety. You lack peace. Saints, fear has torment, and it cripples you and defeats you. What do you do with fear? Whatever it is, it's simply a spirit from the pits of hell. Take authority over that foul spirit and send it back where it belongs. Declare to the devil that you are victorious through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of your testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. I am tired of seeing God's people, amen, bound by these tormented spirits. I'm tired. We have been liberated by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are free to laugh, to sing, to express joy in our salvation, to embrace the promises of this book. I don't understand Christians who never smile, never laugh, never sing, never raise their hands, never come to the altar, never witness, never testify, never believe God for anything, never take risks in faith, never spread their wings, never climb any mountain. I don't understand dead, dull, dry Christians. The lukewarm spirit is for the birds. Isn't it time we were all made whole? Amen? Listen, folks, you don't have to be a spiritual or emotional cripple anymore. Right. Stop hiding your gifts. Get out of the security of your nest. Spread your wings and soar. Do something for God. Amen. Do something for God.
Absolutely.
I believe some people are content to stay spiritually and emotionally crippled because you just don't know any better. You're ignorant of a better way. None of us in the body of Christ should embrace that kind of thinking. Nor should we embrace erroneous expectations of what faith in Jesus is all about. None of us should expect that some overwhelming emotion will zap us like a bolt of lightning. Are you waiting for some pie in the sky revelation or some experience with God that He has never promised? All these false notions may result in some type of handicap that may be seen with the naked eye, but it's just as crippling nonetheless. Maybe you've lost your joy and become crippled by something way down deep inside. You can't even explain why you only come to church once a month or why you never grace the altar. You find yourself slipping out the door before anyone has a chance to shake your hand. You never seek to make friends among the other saints or attend any other meetings. You simply can't get involved. Why? It's because at some time back, your faith was crippled. Will you allow Jesus to heal you today? He wants you to realize the joy that comes with a constant, steady walk of faith on a daily basis. He wants you to realize the joy that comes from a constant, steady walk of faith on a daily basis. It's time to be healed. Jesus doesn't want your faith crippled any longer. He's right here, right now. And He wants to heal your wounded spirit. The Holy Spirit has brought you to a crossroads today. And the time has come to put your faith to the test. Jesus said that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. We are in God's presence today, and I want you to acknowledge that which is crippling your walk with Him, that which is keeping you from enjoying all of God. Saints, it's time to move that mountain so you can experience victory. You can experience joy and laughter once again. Sometimes we just take ourselves too serious, which also cripples us. Freedom from that crippling disorder is God's plan for your life. Freedom is what He offers you today. Is there anybody here who's tired of being crippled? One honest person. Are you ready to be free from the past, from hurts,
yes,
from guilt,
yes,
from lies,
yes,
from pain,
yes,
from failure?
Yes.
I want you to put your faith to work today. Put your faith to work. Jesus has promised me that He'd be here today to set you free. Amen? He'd be here today to set you free. Hallelujah. There are so many things that rob us as Christians. So many things. Every one of us has a history, and that history follows us. Every one of us has tried to do something for God and at times failed. Leaves us with a big old gash. Every one of us has tried to step out in faith and couldn't do it, or it didn't happen. The crippled man heard the gospel message. Everyone in here has heard the gospel message. And by faith, he received the miracle. By faith. What a blessing, folks. What a blessing. You know, that wasn't Jesus walking around coming to Lystra. That was Paul, the apostle. And Paul was smart, educated, had a close relationship with God, but he was a man, just like I am, Marcus is, Harold is. He was a man. And he said, stand up straight and walk. Stop preaching right in the middle. And said, stand up straight and walk. Now, folks, I don't know what's going on in your life, but you do. You know if there's something crippling you. And you also know if you can be healed because of your faith. Can we believe for a healing today?
Yes.
Can we believe for crippled things to disappear? Can we believe that we can stand up straight and jump and run around and let joy fill our hearts?
Yes.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Wow. Do we need some of that? I don't know if I ever preached on that passage of Scripture before, but it just excited me when I read that. Because this man never heard of Jesus until that day. And the simple gospel message brought faith to him. He heard it. And when Paul said those words, it ignited something in him. Never walked in his life. But he jumped up and walked. Amen. Let's stand together. Linda, maybe you could come and play something, but I'm going to make a general prayer, but if there's some of you that need to pray with me, I want to pray with you, okay? Okay? Amen. Let me pray. Father, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for this message of the crippled man. I ask that you look at each one of us here today and you show us those spots that are crippling our walk, our fellowship with God, our desire to do more and be more in God's kingdom. I ask you to reveal anything that we intentionally try to stay healed or hidden, anything that would keep us from doing everything you want us to do. Lord, I'm a believer in having to get rid of some things. As we renew our mind, I believe some things need to die. Old ways of thinking, old ways of doing. Are we saved? Yes. Is our mind renewed? Probably not. So, Lord, we're here today to be set free, to jump up and walk, to leap for joy because of the gospel message, because of what Jesus has done for us, because we have a Savior that came from heaven and paid the price for our sins, paid the price for our deliverance. And Lord, that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's good and all the time. Hallelujah. I'm going to release you, but if you want...